The end game. Today is the state of the church. Can you say that with me? The state of the church. And that's the other thing. If you're with us here, I get you to talk back with us a little bit, and it helps you, I think, remember it a little bit better. That's the plan. Let's keep looking. The state of the church. What will the church look like and be like in the last days? What will it look like? What will it be like? That's what we're going to talk about today. Keep looking. A couple of scriptures. I'm not going to preach these. I'm going to read them to you. I want you to look at them. I just want you to see the difference. Here's one book written to a man named Timothy, a young man by the Apostle Paul. And look at the tone. Let's see what's going on. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a what? Form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such do what? Turn away. So that's one chapter. That's chapter 3. Flip the page. Chapter 4. I charge you therefore before God, Timothy, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, I charge you, Timothy, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Verse 5. But watch, Timothy, you watch in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your what? Ministry. So two things seem to be happening. Got one chapter there that says, my gosh, man, all the church and everything's going to hell in a handbasket. But on the other hand, this next chapter, you got somebody, he's saying, preach the word, you keep steady. So it sounds like to me in the last days, there's going to be a false church and there's going to be a true church. There's going to be a false church and there's going to be a true church. Are you listening this morning? Say, got it? Let's keep moving. Let's move forward now to the book of Revelation. Last book in the Bible. In the book of Revelation, Jesus miraculously appears to the Apostle John, who was exiled to the Isle of Patmos for his faith in Jesus, okay? He was exiled there to die like a dog. And while he's there on the Lord's Day, guess who appears to him in a vision? Appears to him. Who appears to John? Jesus does. That's in your Bible. You ought to read it. It's a great book. The book of Revelation, last book in the Bible. Jesus appears to him, okay? Jesus says to him in chapter 1, verse 11, he says, John, write what you see. I'm going to show you some things, man. I want you to write down what you see and I want you to send it to what? The seven churches that are in Asia. Okay, and that's what you see as you open your book of Revelation. You get to chapter 2, you'll start to see these churches that in chapter 2 and chapter 3, these letters are sent to. And he told John to do this, okay? So in chapters 2 and 3, Jesus gives specific messages to each one of these seven churches. So how many churches are mentioned? Seven, okay? Keep looking. These are literal letters to literal churches, but they're also a revealing or an unveiling of things to come. These are literal letters to literal churches, but I believe, and many believe, good conservative, not necessarily good, but conservative theologians, believe that these churches also represent ages of churches in the future. Okay? So seven churches, literal letters, but also prophetic, because that's what the book of Revelation is. The word revelation means unveiling or revealing of things to come. So instead of looking at all seven letters, I want to look at the last two letters today. So y'all with me so far? Have I lost you? Okay, there's seven little letters. I want to look at the last two letters, which I believe give us light to the state of the church in the last days. So we're going to look at letter number 6, and we're going to look at letter number what? 7, to see the state of the church in the last days. And that's how we're hanging our hat this morning, okay? The first one's the church at Philadelphia, okay? Can you say that with me? The church at Philadelphia. Now, have I lost you all together? If I've lost you, it's right there in the Bible, okay? You'll see it in your Bible. Here it is. In case you go, is Philadelphia's in the Bible? I've been to Philadelphia. No, you ain't probably been right here. Some of you might have, but okay, here we go. Revelation 3:7. And to the angel or the messenger of the church in Philadelphia, Jesus says to John, write. These things says he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, that opens and no man shuts and shuts and no man opens. Okay, we're going to look at a snapshot of the church in the last days. Got it? That's what we're trying to do. Let's try to get a picture of what Jesus said the church would be like in the last days. Can we learn something this morning? That's the plan. The word Philadelphia, how many knew this before I put it on the screen? It means what? Brotherly love. And I ain't never seen a city like that. It just got so much crime and fighting. Somebody needs to get the word to them. I know that's ugly. If you're from Philly, I'm sorry. Okay? Listen. Philadelphia means brotherly love. Or can you say that with me? The love of... Say it one more time. The love of brothers. Just so far, we're getting a clue. This church at Philadelphia means brotherly love, or the what? The love of... Does that sound like a pretty good thing, the love of brothers? Say. That sound good? Does that sound like something that should be at the church house? Yes or no? Amen? So we're going to look at the last two churches. You're going to get two snapshots of the church in the end times. Jesus says, first of all, we're going to pop it fast, Raj. This is from me. This letter, you got the letter, Mr. Philadelphia Church? This is from me. I am the Holy One. I am the true one. I have the keys. And I want to say something to you. That's why trusting in anybody else to get you to heaven will leave you a loser. Okay? Well, I believed in this one, and I believe, well, here's the problem. He ain't got the keys. You understand? Say, Jesus has the keys. He says it straight up to you. I'm the Holy One. I am the only one. I have the keys. You'll not die in your sin and go to hell because you're here today without knowing that there was one that had the keys and his name is Jesus. The book of Revelation says he has the keys to both death and hell. He has those keys. And that's what he says. He says, I'm the one that opens and no man can shut. That's the one I want to know. Amen? Say. See, that's why you might disagree with me on this, and I don't give a hoot. Fact of the matter is, Jesus Christ is the one that opened up eternal life to me. I didn't open up eternal life to myself, and somehow I can't shut it. Listen, he's given me eternal life. I had nothing to do with it. I believe in him. There's nothing in me. My gosh, how many sin every day? I do. Ask Joy. I'm telling you, he's the one that opened, amen, eternal life to me. Hallelujah. And I am so glad I can't shed it on myself. Amen. I'm glad it's his blood that's cleansed me and not my good works or my good looks. Amen. Because I'd be hurting. Amen. He said, I'm the one that shuts also and no man can open. One day you'll stand before him. But I did this. I did that. Door ain't opening. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never did what? Knew you. That's what the Bible says. So he's just giving them a little idea who it is that's writing a letter. He says, I am the ultimate authority. Can you say that? I am the ultimate authority. So that's the one writing this letter to these two churches. Let's keep looking. What does Jesus say to this church? He said, I know your works. I've set before you an open door and no man can shut it. I tell you what, to me that is such a picture of the last certainly a couple of hundred years of history, and even the last 100 years, and even the last 30, 40 years of the church age that we live in right now. Hasn't there just been a tremendous open door to preach the gospel all around the world, or am I just smoking something up here this morning? Doesn't it seem like the gospel has just gone around the world, and it goes over radio and television, and people can travel to places, and people can raise funds, and people support people to go share the gospel. There's an open door to the gospel. So I believe this is prophetic. I believe it's speaking about the time in which we live. He said, I know your works. I've set before you an open door. Keep looking. Also, I want you to say that with me. He has nothing bad to say about them. Would you say that with me again? He has nothing bad to say about them. If you read, don't do it right now, but if you read all these seven church letters, and they're not very long, that Jesus writes, you'll see that he says, I got this problem with you. And I got this problem with you. To the different churches, and I got this problem with you. But look at this. To this church, he has nothing bad to say about them. No condemnation. And did you know that's who you are in Christ? Amen. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Isn't it good to know? I mean, the God of heaven has nothing bad to say about you if you're in His Son Jesus, because when He looks at you, He sees Jesus. Okay? And He has nothing bad to say about you because you're in who? Christ. And there's no condemnation. That's what the Bible teaches. So He commends this church. He doesn't have anything bad to say about them. Just don't lose me. Hang in here with me. Revelation 3:8. For you have a little strength, and that's a commendation. This ain't a bad thing. You've kept my word. You've not denied my name. See those three things He said about them? He says you have little strength. Reminds me of this scripture, many scriptures. Paul said, He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Look at this great verse. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. Say the last part with me. For when I am, then I am. Amen. I have never been strong in the Lord when I've really been strong in Gary. That's been my time. I've been the weakest spiritually. When I'm full of me, I'm usually not full of Him. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. Look at this. You see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should do what? Glory in His presence. God loves to use weak things. Why? Weak things usually can't glory too much, can they? Say, it's us strong, and we got it all together, people. We're the ones that can glory. He says, you've got a little strength. That's a good thing. He says, you've kept my word. He tells this church, He commends them, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Psalm 119, your word's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The entrance of thy words gives light. It gives understanding unto the simple. Thy word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. Jesus says, that's you guys. Y'all love the word. Okay, so what's the picture of the church in the last days? Little strength. Relying on the Lord, not themselves. Keeping the word, being faithful to the word, knowing that the word is the word of the living God. It's without error. It's perfect. It's complete. What He says, I will do. What He says, I believe. That's a picture of the church in the last days. He says, you have not denied my name. You've confessed my name openly. He tells this church. Romans 10 says, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. Look at this. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth what? Confession is made unto salvation. Look at this next verse. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him shall not be what? Ashamed. Are y'all all right so far? I think this is a picture of the church in the last days. Are y'all connecting that, understanding that? Will the whole church in the last days sell out to the devil? No. No. There's going to be faithful people still on this planet standing for Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me today? That's what I want us to be at Fellowship Church. I don't want to have anything to do with any church organization that doesn't rely on Jesus Christ for strength, believe His word that it's without error, and stands for His name and does not deny it. Y'all listening this morning? Amen? That is the church in the last day. That's the kind of church I want to be in. Amen? That's what I want to be in. That's the main thing. That's keeping the main thing the main thing. Did you see it? He makes promises to this church. Here's what He says. I'll exalt you above the phonies, and they're going to know that I love you. Wow. Look what He says. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they're Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Amen. One day, friend, you will be exalted. Okay? You're going to have eternal life. Now, it's all about Him in heaven. But I tell you what, you're going to live forever. He's going to bless you. You ought to read the last two chapters of the book of Revelation, chapter 21, chapter 22, and just see what's in store for you. It's amazing. Okay? And everybody's going to know that's not in heaven that you are loved. Did you hear me? And that you're with Him. Keep looking. Another promise. He says, I will keep you from the hour of temptation. Look at the scripture. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth. I believe that the church in the last days will be spared the hour of temptation. What does that mean? Tribulation. But now here's where, though, a lot of us are going to divide camp. I hope that Jesus comes before the tribulation takes place on this earth. I hope. But I tell you what, I just cannot be emphatic and dogmatic. I'm just not smart enough to figure out all the end times, okay? There are a lot of good, smart people that think the church will go through part of the tribulation period. Okay, I don't know. The bottom line is this. I do know this verse. That I do definitely believe the church is going to be spared much of the wrath of the tribulation period. Did you see that or no? Okay, this is a promise. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that you have, that no man take your crown. Keep looking. I will make you, he says this also. I don't know what this means, but I like it. I didn't study the whole lot this one, but he said, I'll make you a pillar in the church of God. Boy, it just sounds good, don't it? That's what I want. Amen. Him that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go out no more. Amen. We're going to be permanent fixtures there. Amen. I like that. He says, I will write upon you my what? Say it with me. New name. It sounds like to me, church, we ought to stay faithful. Amen. Doesn't it sound like that's what we ought to do? I mean, that's like some pretty good stuff right there. Why would I want to bail ship? Why would I want to turn and run and go the other way? Why would I want to give up on Jesus Christ and His Word? That'd be absolute stupidity and insanity. I don't know why so many churches do it. They're ignorant as far as I'm concerned. This is the promise to the church, okay? He says, I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. I will write upon him my new what? Man, my name ain't going to be Gary anymore. God's going to name me. Put his name on me. Isn't that pretty cool? Say, come on. Amen. So the state of the church, did you get snapshot number one? Did you see it? Say, sound like a good church or a bad church? Good church. Sound like a true church or a false church? True church. Church I want to be. Now listen, in the last days, now don't leave on me. Hang on. I can't just show you the good. Got to show you the ugly. And look, most of you like to see the ugly anyway. You people are sick. Here we go. In the last days, there will be a true church. But just like Timothy, just like Paul seemed to write in 1 Timothy 3, then chapter 4, there's like, whoa, two shots. There will also be a false church in the last days. Now, if you don't think there's a false church and false churches today, I can't help you a whole lot. You just need to get out and don't be here on a Sunday. Y'all just go visiting. Amen. I don't know. They tell me things are going on out there. All I know is I show up here every Sunday. Amen? And that's the plan. So I don't know what's going on in our world, but I hear it's not too good. Amen? So let's keep looking. The church at Laodicea. Can you say that with me? The church at Laodicea. Now, the church at Philadelphia meant the love of what? Say it one more time. The love of brothers. Now let's look at the church at Laodicea, the seventh and final church. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the what? Amen. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Okay? Laodicea means people judge, or say this with me, the judgment of people. Wait a minute. Now let's look at it one more time. Laodicea means people judge, or the... And now Philadelphia means the love of... Brothers, Laodicea means the judgment of people. Let me just do it one more time. Philadelphia means the love of brothers. Laodicea means the judgment of people. Just one more time so we can get it down. Philadelphia means the... It means the judgment of people. Do you think this should be a place where we judge people when they come? Say, no. You got to love them. Sounds biblical to me, amen? A lot of churches today, they're not that way. You know, if you don't do it our way, if you don't get your hair cut this way, if you don't just stand by this version of the Bible, I can say these things because that's the kind of church I was in. Okay? Listen, if you don't measure up to the way we do it, don't go here, don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other. Hey, I'm not saying we bail on holiness. Holiness is always right, okay? But judgment is always wrong when we're judging somebody, okay? The Bible says when you have aught with a brother or a brother is fallen, we're go to that brother. Does it say we're to judge him? It says we're to restore such an one with the spirit of what? Meekness is the word the Bible uses, amen? So let's do a little test one more time. Philadelphia, the love of brothers, that last final church, the judgment of people. We're learning. Let's look. Jesus says, look at it. First of all, I want you to know who's writing. He says, I'm the amen. That means in plain English, so be it. I am the faithful and true witness. I love this part. I'm the beginning of the creation of God. I'm telling you, and I'm going to be ugly again. The Bible teaches that God created everything that is. I don't care what you've been taught in some school. It's a bunch of bull as far as I'm concerned and as far as the Word of God is concerned. He is the Creator. Okay, and you can believe what you want. I can't understand it. You're going to be so crystal clear one day it ain't even going to be funny. But you can go ahead and get with the program now. You just go out there today. You take your ride. You look at your world. You look at the beach. You look at the beautiful creation. We have an awesome God. I got up early this morning before the sun was up. I watched that sun come up, that coolness. And there she come. That sun's right on time. Look at it. I have a great God. Okay? Jesus said, I just want you to know who's writing this thing. Okay? Jesus gives this church no what? Commendation. He gave the church at Philadelphia no condemnation. He gives this church no commendation. He only gives them what? Condemnation. What's that mean? Plain English. Say it with me. Jesus has nothing good to say about... One more time. Jesus has nothing good to say about... Do you want to be in that... Is that the state of the church you want to be in? Say, when Jesus comes... He has nothing good to say about you at all. That's what the situation was with this church. Revelation 3:15. I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. I would you were cold or hot. And see, cold's good and hot's good. I like hot coffee. Some people even like what? Iced coffee. But I like iced tea. Okay? But I do not like lukewarm coffee. Coffee's just sitting in the... Ugh. Okay? Listen, cold's good, hot's good. You know what's useless? Being lukewarm, being politically correct. They say our country today is now a centrist country. Okay? I'm going to tell you something. The Church of the Living God is not a centrist church. It shouldn't be a centrist church. The Church of the Living God should be so far with Jesus Christ. Wherever He's at, that's where we're at. Whatever He says, that's what we believe. Okay? It's not like, well, you know, and this, and I'm only knowing that. No, what does the Bible say? Did you hear me? That's what this is talking about. You're not going to, well, I just won't be, I know, you know, this scripture says this, but wait a minute, you know, I mean, but wait a minute, they say this over. There's no room for political correctness in when it comes to your relationship with God and the Bible. You're going to find what this verse says. Look at it. So then because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, say it with me, I will. Wow, that's not very nice, is it? Look at that. Literally, I will vomit you out of my mouth. I don't want to be ugly, but if you go on a date or something, and somebody says you make me sick and they puke on you, they probably don't like you. Okay? I know that's ugly. That's ugly. My point is this. Get the point! So often we think we can be lukewarm and we can have a relationship with Jesus and it's all good. No, He's throwing us up. That's what He says. Did you know the Bible even said that? That's what it says. He condemns them. He says that He condemns this church. Because you say, I'm rich, I'm increased with goods, I have no need of anything. and you know not that you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked. Did that sound like a condemnation to you? That's the way I read it. Yeah. You say, look at it, I'm rich, no humility. What do you say about the other church? You have no strength. You're humble. You're not full of yourself. This church, I'm rich. Look at me. Look at the next thing. I'm increased with goods. I've got everything I need. I don't need to read the Bible. I don't need God's word. I don't need truth in my life. Where are you at today? See, just Jesus isn't going to let you in if you say, I went to fellowship. I wish it just ain't going to happen that way, friend. You're going to be judged on this. Did you humble yourself at the cross? Did you believe what I said in that word? And did you deny my name? Or did you stand for me? That's what he's going to say. That is the state of the church in the last day. They said this, I don't need anything. I have need of nothing. I don't even need Jesus. I don't need God. Wow. The state of the church in the last days. Keep looking. They were full of self. Say it with me. They were full of stuff. Say this last part with me. They were full of what? One more time. The church in the last days. Full of self. Full of stuff. Full of. One more time. Let's get it down. Full of self. Full of stuff. Full of bull. We can go to church. We can sing the songs. But if we don't do it in a spirit of humility, bowing before Jesus Christ, if we don't put his word up as the authority, if we don't confess his name as the one and only true God, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Then it's just been a club. We just having us a club. There's plenty of clubs out there. We don't need that. I want to be part of the true church. There will be both, though, in the last days. And in our body, here's the deal. In our body here at Fellowship, we have both. We have both here. I don't know your heart. I don't know where you are today in your relationship with God. It does not surprise me at all if there's some in our midst today that would think, I don't need the Bible. I don't need Jesus. I'm fine. I'll figure that out later. That's the state of the church in the last days. Jesus says, you're wretched. You're miserable. You're poor. You're naked. You're blind. That's how you appear before me. You might think you have all this stuff, but this is the way I see you. Boy, that's pretty. I wouldn't want to appear like that, would you say? Jesus gives some counsel. Here's what he says, and we got to close with this, but hang in here with me. Let's don't miss this last part. Revelation 3:18. I counsel you, church, that I have nothing good to say about, that I spew out of my mouth. I counsel you. I'm going to give you some good counseling, Jesus says. Buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich. Buy of me or get of me white raiment, that you may be clothed. And buy of me or get of me eye salve, that you can anoint your eyes, that you can see. So he gives them three bits of advice. Amen? Have you got that down? You see that? Let's go over that advice today. Buy of me or get from me gold. Buy me or get from me white raiment. Buy me from me or get from me eye salve. Okay? Jesus doesn't leave us without a remedy. Here's the remedy. Let's look at it. Can you say that with me? I sort of got this in my office this week. You might not like it, but I like it. What's gold with God? Would you say that with me? What's gold with God? One more time. What's gold with God? One last time. What's gold with God? Is gold that we wear around our neck or put on our wrist or we invest in, is that the goal that gold is with God? Well, gold with God, if that's God's gold, well, he uses that for asphalt. Are the streets paved with gold? Yes or no? He says, buy of me gold. What is gold with God? What does God trade in the Bible? What currency is good in the Bible with God? What works with God? What's the one thing that God will accept from you? What is one thing? You got it, boy, you got it. Faith in God. Faith in God is what? Gold. Wow. And we're so stupid. We think it's our money. We think it's our good works. It's our faith in God. Look what the Bible says. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. My wife's favorite verse is verse 6 in the Bible. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Boy, old Martin Luther got his cattle, his old cage rattled way back when he came across this verse. Look at it. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That is written, say this, the just shall live by what? Not your money. What's gold with God? Say it with me. Faith. Do you have faith in Jesus Christ? Anything else ain't spending. It's not accepted. Your currency has been devalued. Doesn't work. What's gold with God? Don't ever forget that. If you don't ever remember anything else I ever say, just remember that. When you get to the judgment seat, what is it that's gold with God? Faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? Do you have it? He said, boys, y'all be very wise to get this from me. That was his counsel. Look at this one. What's white raiment with God? The righteousness of God. How can you be made white? Your life, your soul, your heart. Hey, can you do that on your own? Say, well, I'm going to try to lift myself up by the bootstrap. I'm going to try to do a better job. You're still a sinner. You might be as dirty as you used to be, but you're still dirty. Only that being saved and cleansed by the blood of Christ can you have your sins washed away and be made white as what? Snow. Isaiah 64 says, but we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf. Our iniquities like the wind. They've taken us away. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Ooh, look at this one. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, say it with me, he's a what? New creature, new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Boy, God has to make you clean. Jesus said, you'd be wise if you'd let me do that for you. Okay? For he hath made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin. Say it with me. That we might be made the what? Righteousness of God in him. That's why you can say to the cows, come home. All religions, all roads lead to the same place. Let me tell you something, friend. Only one of them can make you clean. Jesus. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, God's only Son, died on the cross, rose from the dead. He's the only one. His blood is the only one who can take away your sin. Amen? Praise the Lord. That is something we ought to get excited about. Amen? That's the true way. Jesus said, I want to give you a little counsel. Here's the last thing. He says, anoint your eyes with eye salve. What is eye salve with God? And this could be a lot of the stuff, so deep, the Word of God, the forgiveness of God. I'm reminded of John Newton. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Say it with me. Was blind, but now what? I'm forgiven, man. Forgiveness. Tell you what, I can't argue with you about, if you don't believe the Bible, if you think creation's crazy and I'm a nut, I probably ain't going to be able to help you a whole lot till your eyes get open. I don't know about you, but when I became a Christian, my eyes started opening. Wow, there's a whole other world out here. There's a whole other way to live, man. You know what I mean? I looked at, not immediately, but I started looking at things differently as I started reading God's Word. And there was a quickening in my heart and my life, and I became alive, and I was forgiven. Boy, whoo, I like that eye salve, don't you say? Mm-hmm. Forgiveness. In whom we have the redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's not of works. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So, faith in God makes you rich. The righteousness of God clothes you and makes you unashamed. Amen. The forgiveness of God does what? opens your eyes. So he gives some counsel to this church, the state of the church. Did you see two churches today? Did you see them? I believe that will be the state of the church when Jesus comes. True and false. Real, phony. Let's play a game. We're almost done. Deal or no deal. Here we go. And like I said, well, I did this one time a long time ago. I said, we don't have the pretty girls, just me and Raj, okay? It's all we sorry, ain't we, brother man? Here we go. Deal or no deal. Let's play the game. Just reinforce it in our mind. Here it is. The state of the church. Deal. The love of brothers. No deal. The judgment of people. Deal. Humble. No deal. Proud. Deal. Believes the word of God. No deal. Doubts the word of God. Deal. Confesses Jesus Christ openly. No deal. Diminishes or denies Christ. Deal. Faith. No deal. Money. Deal. Righteousness. No deal. Sinfulness. Deal. Forgiveness. No deal. Blindness. Deal. Raptured. No deal. Left behind. Deal. Heaven. No deal. Hell. Bang, bang, you're dead. That's what the Bible teaches. You know, that's the word. Good stuff. Good job. Amen. And then we see this verse. This was the verse that was preached the Sunday I got saved. And it's right after this passage about Laodicea and about Philadelphia. This great verse. I really encourage you to memorize this verse. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Okay? Jesus loves you. He wants to come into your life. He wants you to have faith in him. He wants to make you clean. He wants to forgive you. But you got a trade in the currency that he accepts. And that's faith in him. Got it? Say. You got to say no to everything else and yes to him. He paid it all. He did it all. You can't do a dime's worth of nothing. He says one thing you have to do. You have to say to me, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose from the dead. I'm trusting in you and you alone. You are the only way. I give my life to you. Best I know how. That's what I believe. Have you done that? That's the most important decision. True or false, deal or no deal.